So you guys get that? That's pretty
Can
annoying.
we just
You
leave
have
that
work,
for the next like hour of some like just dead air? Maybe I'll flush the toilet or something. Dave, maybe you can cough or something once or twice throughout the thing.
Because this episode, we are giving a second chance to Skinnamarink, and the
And
way we
Dave has
started
nothing.
is the audio he had.
Dave has no one to blame but himself. I mean, I think it's we're being the way that we're acting right now. I think it's pretty obvious our feelings on this, but I mean, but
We'll get into it
I
because,
know. I mean, I'm just I'm frustrated. It's a very frustrating thing to talk about. And it's making, but it wasn't all bad because I mean the whole this is the first time in my life where the best part of my day was the homework. What was homework?
So
And
let's get started with the homework. Chris, why don't you get us started?
okay, well, first off, if you guys have been listening to us, did we even say that we were talking about Skinnamarink, by the way? Did we say that that's definitively what we were talking about and referencing in the beginning?
Yeah, I
Okay,
said that right after we started.
I didn't know if we mentioned. Oh yeah, we're talking about Skinnamarink, but okay, yeah. All right, so yeah, I'm at Carmichael Manor right now. This is the fourth installment of the Hell House
Yes, it
franchise,
is.
and again, this was much like last time. I got to go back to my notes, which are now like 2 months old, because that's how long ago. It might be 3 months now, because I breezed on through the Hell House series. So the last time we left our saga. It was
Hell House
what is
3 was
considered,
down,
yeah. It, the what is considered by most the big misstep and well earned at that. This one, I am pleased to say, righted the ship. We're right on course back to where we should be.
I remember going into it just that feeling of like being unsure because in 3 they get rid of the Abaddon Hotel,
Yeah, and you're like, okay,
and
so.
then you hear that it's called like Carmichael Manor Origin, so you're like, is this a prequel? What is this? Being really unsure, and then you watch this movie, and
And I will get into it. So, full disclosure, and some of this is new notes as well as notes that I said like 2 or 3 months ago. I think this is one of the notes that I said like before I even started. I said, full disclosure, by the fourth installment, I'm already rolling my eyes to characters saying turn that camera off or calling attention to the camera. Camera turning static every time something spooky happens. Someone saying we can't leave so and so. And a group splitting up. So I think that I had put that like before I even started watching it. I was like, let's see how much of this
That's
is.
gonna happen anytime you binge watch found footage films.
I know, and I can be like, I can know when stuff is legitimate and what is nitpicky. Okay, and but this also was a return to the better pacing of the Hell House series, in which it was s the scares were a lot quieter but more intense. And so, new location, new set of people. Well, we're still in New York, but we're away from the Abaddon. In fact, it's actually one town over. And we have Carmichael Manor, and it's another estate with a dark past. Some of the family were murdered, some died in a car accident, and the father and son have mysteriously vanished. So, much like the Abaddon, this is a new estate with a dark past. And we have our three new people, our three new victims. Margot, who is a internet detective, internet sleuth, trying to like uncover the mysteries of the Carmichael Manor, because much like the Abaddon, people always want to come by and try to figure out the big mystery.
Much like the main character from Hell House 2.
Yeah, and she's with her girlfriend Rebecca, who you can tell she's enthusiastic that Margot is enthusiastic, but not necessarily enthusiastic about having to be at Carmichael Manor. But she's a she's trying to be a good girlfriend and saying, oh, I'm here with you, babe. And later on, they're joined by Margot's brother, Chase. And they said that they're going to be there for 5 days. I think that's how long they said that they were going to try to stay there for. And from what we see, our footage, what we're watching as the movie, is pretty much the last known footage of them, as well as mixed in footage of the Carmichaels themselves and the stuff that happened with them. All right, so they're getting the tour of the place. They're getting the lowdown. We're getting the background on the Carmichaels, basically the dark past I mentioned earlier. And we hear that's how we find out also that Abaddon is a town over. And at this time, the manor is burned down. That's the Abaddon, rather, is burned
Yeah,
down at
Abaddon's
this.
burnt down. The manor's in
Yeah.
really good shape,
Yeah,
actually.
pretty nice. It would, you spruce this place up, it would make a very nice bed and breakfast.
Yeah.
So they get the tour of the place, and they also hear about this local antique store that'll come into play a little bit later. And so they start looking around after the guy goes, "We got clowns, people." They opened up one of the storage rooms, and we got clowns. It's a staple of every Hell House.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you just gotta
Was
love
waiting
it.
for it. Like when he said, "Yeah, and this is a storage room, I don't know what's in it." I'm like, "I know what's in it." So for the first night, we get a few shots of creepy stuff, you know, waking up to what's that noises in the middle of the night. And some scenes where they're holding the camera and you see like horrific images, but like they don't notice it. I like that kind of shot where like, "Hey, this is a selfie of me," but like there's all sorts of gore and shit in the background, but they don't see it. So that kind of stuff I like. So I think, I don't know if it was night one or night two, but this happens. But they split where Chase is going to stick around. Chase, he's basically there because he kind of had a mental breakdown, and he's there to A, help his sister, and his sister's kind of keeping an eye on him. And they go off, Margot and Rebecca go off to a antique store. He stays and sticks around. And so the next two things that happen simultaneously. They're at an antique store, where they come across a grandfather clock that looks very familiar. It was its last seen in the Abaddon. And they're, you know, messing around with it, and they find a hidden compartment that has like a bunch of documents and film reels and like a pendant inside. They're like, "Shit, I'm gonna steal it." In an antiques. It's just, you're in a mom and pop antique store. They're trying to make, you know, money on it, and you're just gonna like thieve. I'm just gonna just stuff this shit in my purse. That's going on. Chase is getting his ass haunted. I poor Chase. This dude gets a raw deal.
Like, this is a terrible place for it to be recovering from a mental
For
breakdown.
yes, why would you want to bring your brother who had a mental breakdown to a haunted house?
She's gonna question everything, whether it's real or not.
And no matter what you say, or if he tries to tell you something, you're not gonna believe him. So they come back. He sees haunted faces, a clown nose thing rolling around, and he's getting his ass haunted. They come back into town. They come back. He shows them the footage, right? And of course, at this point, Chase is like, "Hey, look, we don't have to be here all 4 days." There, Chase is, you know, is, because Chase is the one that's starting to sound the most sensible. You can already tell what's going to happen to him. It's always the one who's talking some sense.
Always one that wants to leave.
The one that wants to leave. So, but Margot, much like Alex, just stay one more night. One more night. Okay, fine. Stay another night. And I think, oh, this is the thing I said, "What is it with these grown ass people who want to leave but get chastised into staying?" I'd be like, "I'm a grown man. You ain't gonna like bully me to stay here."
Yeah, I'm gonna leave.
Like,
You could stay.
I don't care if you think I'm crazy. Peace. All right. So we find out that the film reels that they found in the grandfather clock were of the Carmichaels before and after all the tragic events there. I'm trying not to give too much detail because this is all just, you know, an overview, and we haven't even gotten to yours and Skinnamarink. But we see Patrick Carmichael, the big story with the Carmichaels, Patrick Carmichael and his sister Margaret, very close. His sister dies, and he falls basically into a very deep depression. And we basically see him slip slowly and slowly into being crazy to the point where he would associate with people like Andrew Tully and company, because they can, you know, they're all about the afterlife and being able to bring people back into it. So that's basically essentially the story we'll get from all the reels. So Rebecca gets a phone, gets a video, a very strange Zoom call.
Well, she's zooming with like her boss and stuff. Things are happening on her end.
She just sees video, like clips and pictures of like where she is, like the outside of where she's staying, slowly getting closer and closer to where she is. And then to the point where there's like a dead person standing right next to her. Okay, so now at this point, everybody wants to leave except Margot. Rebecca's like, "We got to leave." Chase wants to leave. But of course, Margot, being the asshole, says, "No, one more night." And one more night means one more chance for somebody to die. And sorry, my boy Chase. They wake up the next morning and Chase is gone.
Gone,
Gone out of here. We see what happened, and those clowns, the clowns got him. And
That's
so,
where Rebecca's like, let's leave, and she's like, we gotta wait,
wait for
see if
what?
Ch wait for Chase to come, you know?
Like, first off, at this point, couldn't you have called like 911 and just said, there's a missing person? Call 911 and say, hey, look, my brother's missing. He had a mental breakdown the other day and he's supposed to be here. I'm worried about him. We need to find have like somebody to find him? But no, don't do that. Let's stick around because the guy, Margo's like, well, what if he comes back? Yeah, the guy who's been wanting to do nothing but leave this entire time is going to come back. So they stick around and late enough. And then Rebecca's like, hey, we got to go. Like, I'm sorry it's your brother, but we got to get out of here. Like, I think this is night three, and I'm like, we've already stayed two nights too many. So they try to go start the car. What do you know? It won't start. Time to hoof it. Yeah. Rebecca is rightfully losing her shit. What, this is something I don't get. But instead of just following the road, they decided to go hike it in the woods.
Right. I guess it was supposed to be short. I don't know.
Because that's what they did.
Cut through the woods. It was supposed to be like I think it's supposed to be like 4 or 5 miles quicker to get to like.
I would have just stuck on the road. Yeah. I would have just stuck on the road and just been like, maybe a car will go by, but I'll just hoof it on the road. At least I know where it's going.
Yeah.
But no, they go out into the woods, and it gets very Blair Witchy.
Yeah,
they go into the woods. They don't find a witch, but they find cultists.
Yeah.
At this point, I think I wrote in my notes 3 months ago, this is breakup worthy.
Yeah.
This is breakup worthy. Like, the second they get to safety, like, the second I'm getting to safety, if I'm Rebecca, Margo, this is over. You and me, we're done.
We're done, yeah.
I didn't want to be here. Like, but they basically get hunted down by the cult, basically chases them back to the manor, and then just terrorizes them there. They try to go back out to the car. They're out there too, and essentially they die.
Yeah,
they die. Without getting too specific, they die. And we later find out there was a connection between Margot and that manor because of a fair that she went to when she was a kid.
Yeah.
And later on, you see like the same clowns were there. It's some of that stuff that a lot of people are still kind of talking about, like trying to connect dots, because now that we're not at Abaddon, it's still connected to the Abaddon.
Yeah, it's shown ways that Abaddon and this manor connect.
Yeah, and that is essentially Carmichael Manor.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched it since its release, but now I want to go back and watch it.
I had to after watching Skinner Marink, but yeah, it's going to be interesting because now this will be the first time I'm going to get homework and it's not something I watched 3 months ago.
Right.
But I will say as of right now, this is the last entry. I don't know if they're planning on making any more.
I believe they are. Yeah.
But if
I'd be excited for. Yeah.
But if it turns out for some reason they can't or they don't, this, I'd say it went out on a higher note. It went out, definitely went out on a high note. It went from good, very, very good with the first one. Yes. Okay. But I'm still interested in the second one. Big misstep in the third one, and then corrected ship, and now we're branching it out to different places.
Yeah, as of right now, I consider the Hell House franchise a very upper-tier horror franchise.
I'll agree with that. Even in the misstep in three, I was still intrigued throughout the entirety of the show, of the running.
And having 3 out of 4 movies in your franchise be pretty good. That actually doesn't happen in a lot of horror franchises.
And you know what? I still can't even fault him that much because three, maybe he was just trying to do something ambitious and take it in a different kind of direction, but it just didn't resonate. But hey, you know, at least he was trying something. It didn't work out, but then eventually he was like, okay, must have listened to his audience because then it went, okay, let's kind of go back to what was working.
Yeah.
So, okay, let me go ahead and break it down.
All right.
This was good one all around. So I got... technicals, 7.5.
Okay,
better than they got rid of all of the like gonna quick cuts to like the previous like to 1, 2, or 3, which the third one did. It kept showing like I said, 50% of that footage was the recycled footage from the previous movies, and the scares were a lot more restrained, and it was just done very well. Exactly what
found footage, the technicals were above what you expect out of found footage,
and they didn't feel the need to like flood it with like artsy kind of things. It was restrained and I liked it. Story, solid 7. I'm glad that we got to check out a place other than the Abaddon, although I know since it's part of the Hell House series, you know, you have to kind of relate it to it, but
yeah.
I'm glad that we got to find a different place other than the Abaddon that now we can kind of explore with.
Yes.
And now maybe we can have a whole new lore with the Carmichaels and their family. And lastly, enjoyment 7.5.
Okay.
It was it was definitely a refreshing watch.
Yeah. So yeah, 7.5, 7, and a 7.5 for a 22 out of 30.
Yeah, not bad.
Pretty good.
Now, you get to, what did I give you?
You gave me 2013, directed by Frank Colfone. No idea who he is or how to say his name.
Now, have you seen
it? It's Elijah Wood. I have not seen the original.
Me neither. So I have nothing to compare to. All I know is that this was... the guy is named the same.
And the original, I believe, takes place in New York City, while this one takes place in L.A. But this movie follows Frank Zito, played by Elijah Wood.
Yep.
And he's schizophrenic, who had a terrible upbringing, basically. Mom was a hooker.
Yeah. Because I about to say yes. To tell you the least.
Yeah. Him stalking a girl. Like, very closely following her through her apartment building.
Yeah, this whole movie is POV shot.
Yeah, it's through his POV. She opens the door, and he's just breathing heavy behind her. She turns around, and he goes, "Don't scream," and then puts his knife through her throat.
Heck of an opening.
Yeah.
I was hoping that, because I did not see the original, but I did see this one. I'm like, okay, I gave Dave, well, I didn't think about that at the time, but I know Dave likes his slashers, so let's see how this went, if this is his taste.
So... And then from that, you see that he scalps his victims and attaches it to mannequin to kind of replay his one good childhood moment is brushing his mom's hair before she went out to do her thing.
Very Norman Batesy.
Yeah. And then this movie just follows Frank as he goes through. And you see one of the ways he finds victims is through a dating website. He meets a girl, they go on a date. It doesn't really go all that great, but... You also see with the schizophrenia, he also kind of suffers from social anxiety.
Yeah, he's not right in the head.
Like, no,
not just because schizophrenia, but he's like you see him like panic, having like panic attacks, and like looking at himself like in the mirror, like freaking out.
And basically, they go back to this girl's place, and she is trying to get Frank into bed, and he's kind of like, no, and then you know. Kind of pushed him too far, and he just starts strangling her.
Yeah.
And he kills her.
Lady, you should have just let it go.
And then he kind of has an argument with his mind. He's like, you couldn't just let me have one.
Yeah, because that's who he's arguing with. That's who he's mentally, like, arguing with the whole time.
Yeah. And, like, his victims, he doesn't have, like, a certain type he goes for. Because first he killed a brunette, this one's a redhead. And then as he's doing his thing with her hair, attaching it to a mannequin and all that, he sees them come to life.
Yeah, to him, like they're like real.
Yeah, life like his girlfriends. And as he's doing a thing, notices there's someone out front taking photos of his shop because his day job is he restores mannequins.
That's very right. He has always person. Has a fresh supply of mannequins.
Yeah, and he opens the door to talk to her. It's a photographer named Anna. She's like, I just felt inspired. Mm-hmm. You mind if I come inside take a few shots? They get talking. They become friendly. And she wants to use some of his mannequins for his art, for her art show she has coming up. And he's originally like, I don't know. And then he kind of lets her do it.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure after meeting her, he goes out, kills another girl, scalps her too.
Yep. It's as is tradition.
Basically, yeah. Basically, he killed a girl that kind of reminded him of Anna, because now she has his name. So he goes to her art show, sees what she's done with his mannequins and everything. Wait, no, first they go to a movie together. They watch an old French movie. It kind of seems like it's a date, and then after the movie, Anna's like, hey, my boyfriend's at the bar, right? A couple blocks over, come have a drink with us. And he's like, no, I'm just going to go home. First off, I don't know how I'd feel if I was her boyfriend with that.
No.
Like, go and sing an old French movie with another guy alone.
A romantic French movie.
Yeah, I'd be like...
Who is this?
Yeah. But then, you know, he goes to the art exhibit. You see kind of why the boyfriend was okay with it? Because he just assumed Frank was gay.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you like to play with dolls and shit. You know,
I just assumed.
Hanging out with her gay friends. He's like, I'm not gay. Whatever. It was just a weird interaction. And then Anna's manager's like... talking to Frank, she's like, hey, I got an artist that likes to destroy things. Can we use your mannequins? He's like, I don't destroy, I restore. It's to note that this her manager is an older lady, but with blonde hair.
Named
looks
Rita.
Very yeah, named Rita. That looks similar to his mother.
Oh, that's a bad thing to be.
Yeah, so after the art exhibit, Frank follows Rita home, drowns her in her tub, and then Rita wakes up and she's hogtied on the bed.
That's
and
a horrible Frank, way to be woken up.
Yeah, and Frank is leaving, yelling at her, why did you never mention her to, why did you leave? And then he scalps her.
That now that's a heck of a scene.
Yeah, that was a lot to take in.
That was probably an uncomfortable day on set.
Yeah, and then cuts to the next morning. Frank calls Anna, and she picks up crying, talking about her manager was murdered.
You don't say.
He's like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, is your boyfriend there with you? She's like, no, he already went back to L.A. He's like,
did
well,
he now?
Yeah, you shouldn't be alone in this moment. Let me come over. And she's like, okay.
How sweet.
Because yeah, at this moment, Anna still considers Frank to be a pretty good friend.
Yeah, she has no idea the kind of stuff he's doing.
Yeah, and I should clarify, Anna's not from L.A. She's French.
Yes.
She's moved there to pursue art.
Yeah, she's also a French actress as well.
Yeah. Anna is played by, let me double
Nora,
check.
Nora Arnedzer.
Arnedzer, yeah. Yeah, I haven't really seen her in too many things because I don't watch French films, but she is a pretty good actress. I did enjoy her in this.
Yeah, I thought she was pretty good.
So Frank comes over and Anna's neighbor is there. And he's like, oh. Neighbor's like, well, I got an audition, so he leaves. So Frank and Anna are talking, and somehow Frank kind of slips up and lets Anna know. Yeah, you know, like he kind of said where her manager lives. Anna's like, how do you know that?
Yeah, it's one of those things where he says something in passing and then it's just like, wait a second, I never told you this. Or yeah, yeah. It's like she never mentioned this. It's something only the killer would know.
Yeah, and then Anna, she played it very coy where she's like, you know what, I'm tired, I just want to go to sleep, you should probably go now, you should probably leave. And Frank's like, no, I came all the way across town for you.
Yeah, and now he's getting unhinged.
Yeah, and it's like he's starting to snap at this point. And you can see Anna's like getting more and more Frank, and Frank's become more and more aggressive. So now Frank's basically chasing Anna through the apartment. She's yelling for help, help. And then her neighbor's at the door. He comes in and Frank hits him with a meat cleaver in the mouth.
Bam.
Yeah. And from there.
Poor dude. He's just like, huh? And then boom.
Yeah. Frank finally breaks on Anna's bathroom door, chokes her until she's unconscious, puts her into his van. Anna regains consciousness. Frank opens the door of the van and she stabs him.
Yep.
With like a rebar from one of the mannequins or whatever. And she starts running away. Frank's like, why would you do this? I was here for you.
Yeah, he's him be a nice guy.
Yeah, and Anna screaming for help. A car slows by, lets her in. And she grabs the wheel of the car and says, no, hit him. And they run Frank over and then crash straight into a like a bridge underpass.
Right, pillar. Yeah.
Awkward time to watch that, but yeah. Anna flies out of the window of the car and Frank goes up to her and stabs and scalps her.
Almost got away.
Frank goes back to his apartment where he dies of his wounds, but his schizophrenia makes it seem like all his mannequins come alive and tear him apart.
Imagine
and then shortly after, SWAT breaks into his apartment and sees that he's dead.
Imagine being like the SWAT and just open it up and then that's what you see.
Yeah.
You get just this dude dead, surrounded by mannequins with scalps stapled to him. I guess the secret's out.
Yeah. And that is Maniac.
So, because as of right now, I won't mention, but I've been trying to gauge your slasher, like, tastes as of late.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm a fan of the killer POV.
No?
Because I wasn't big on Henry Portrait of the Serial Killer. And I like this one, but yeah, I don't know.
Wasn't just
going too much into the psyche.
Your slasher taste must be very, very specific.
My slash case is I just want to turn off my brain and enjoy the movie. But this one makes you think, but...
This one makes you think.
Yeah, which you don't want for a slasher, but for like a psychological horror slasher.
Which it's labeled as.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Am I going to go out of my way to watch it? No, but if it's on when I watch it, yeah.
Yeah, maybe not.
No, I haven't seen it. I sit down and watch it, yeah.
It's been a little bit as well that I need to rewatch it, but... At least I'm I'm trying to figure you out is all. So
I mean, you've done better this season. You've only had one like terrible movie this season. So
which one was that?
All About Evil or whatever?
Oh yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so to break this down, technicals, it's a pretty well shot movie. Some of the effects were all right, but I'd give it a 7.5.
Okay.
Story, I feel like it's a pretty creative story. I don't know how much it relied on the first one, but it did seem pretty inventive to me.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm like busting your balls about it. Yeah. But I know that like a POV shot kind of storytelling is a specific preference.
Yeah,
I liked it, but I mean, I can totally understand people who don't like it because that is a very kind of like your taste kind of thing.
I'd probably give it a 6.5.
Okay.
And then enjoyment, I would probably give it a 6.
Okay.
Yeah. So overall, I give it a 20 out of 30.
All right. So
yeah. Right. So good job, Chris.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Now. Now this will be the first time that we get homework where I don't know what I'm going to be getting.
Oh man, I don't even know what I'm going to give you. I didn't even think about that.
All right. Did you like Repo: The Genetic Opera?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
All right, I'm going to give you the other one that's by the same guy, called The Devil's Carnival.
Devil's Carnival?
Yeah.
Just to add another
musical to the thing.
Let's see what I give you. Actually, I think you'll really enjoy this one.
Okay.
It's called No One Will Save You.
No One Will.
Came out last year. It's on Hulu. It was like a Hulu movie, yeah.
Said it's on Hulu?
Yeah. Yeah, surprisingly, I really enjoyed this movie, even though there's only like 2 to 4 lines of dialogue in the entire movie.
Can I give you an ultimatum between The Devil's Carnival and another one?
Okay.
Because I want to give you these two are. I want you to choose between these two because they're just kind of like, I just want somebody else to have seen it with me so I can reference it in the future. But I don't know necessarily if you'll like either of them. But after this one, I want to just start recommending ones I really think you'll like. So you have The Devil's Carnival.
Okay.
Or something called The Wizard of Gore, which has Crispin Glover in it.
I think I'm going to stick with The Devil's Carnival.
Okay.
Stick with the musical, yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to give you, since those were basically the two that I was kind of iffy on, just let you at least choose for yourself. Okay. I think you chose the correct meal anyway, so. that movie was a head-scratcher.
Yeah.
A Wizard of Gore. But, man, feels like we've been talking for a while. We haven't even gotten to the main thing yet.
It's like we're filling time because we're watching a movie with that much to talk about.
Yeah, I'm like, I ain't angry at it because I was like, I have stuff to say, but. Okay, so as we've been bitching, and you again have no one to blame but yourself, we could have. I think I would have rather given Venom a third chance.
Like when it came to choosing movies, it was either this or Nefarious. I was like, I don't want to step into like all the political controversy, so I was like, I'm just gonna go with super boring.
Wait, Nefarious. What was that one?
Basically, a psychologist goes and interviews a prisoner on death row.
Oh, I saw that. I saw that.
He says he's possessed by a demon.
By the devil, by a demon, and I saw that. We can just give it a quick shout out. I can understand why you wouldn't want to delve into that, but just without saying anything, what did you think? Would you give it a thumbs up or thumbs down?
I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean,
I say thumb middle.
Yeah, like it's kind of a middle ground.
Yeah. I think it was a wasted opportunity to do something a lot cooler.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential with the script, but...
There we go again, trying to fill out time. Okay, so...
Skinamarink.
That came out last year.
This movie follows two children that wake up in their house, and their parents are gone. And then they're not, and then they're gone.
And things keep moving around in the house.
Yeah, so this movie has a... It takes place in 1995... So it has that like
VHS old 90s home video
VHS filter, yeah.
Which I at first in the first but 5 minutes I liked.
So this movie is really good. Yeah.
Yeah, first the 5 minutes
were great.
Yeah. I was like, ooh, neat little
this
aesthetic.
This movie will focus on like a corner of the house where nothing happens to just sit there for like 3 to 4 minutes.
You would think that there's only so much you could film inside of a house. But like when we say that we saw every inch of this house, I mean we saw every inch of this house at different angles. And like it's a cool little aesthetic for the first 5 minutes. After 10 minutes, I was waiting for something to happen. And
yeah, it just doesn't.
Those three sentences that you said. All right, so this is what I said. This is how I cataloged the first. I'll go through beat by beat here.
Yeah.
I said at 5 minutes, I dug the ambient shots of the house and the home movie feel. At 10 minutes, yeah, I was waiting for something to happen. The children are just getting ready to go to bed. At 25 minutes, I was waiting for something to happen. The kids wake up and walk around the house. Can't find mom or dad. At 30 minutes, the children continue to look around the house, and things like the toilet disappear. At 35 minutes, I thought, holy shit, how has it only been 5 minutes?
Yeah.
40 minutes, the kids think they found their parents, but they disappeared.
Yeah. At that 40-minute mark, I was like, this movie has to be close to over.
Yes.
And I realized it was only 40 minutes in. I was like, God, I got to take a break and do something.
At 40 minutes, yeah, at 40 minutes, this movie's an hour and 40 minutes. So at the 40-minute mark, I'm like, what could you possibly be doing for another hour? And so 55 minutes. I had to go on Wikipedia. Surely I was missing something. The wiki had four giant paragraphs of supposed plot. And what does that plot say? Literally everything that you said, Dave, in three sentences.
Yeah.
But somehow they managed to make four paragraphs of supposed plot.
Yeah. And what I think this movie is, like just my own theory on this film, is I think those kids died somehow.
And are in limbo.
Yeah, and they're slowly like fading away into like their to nothingness. That's why you keep seeing things disappear, is them losing the memory of that. That's why like when you see the parents, you don't see their face at all.
Yeah,
and you can barely hear their voices. Yeah.
So you think that the kids died?
Yeah, because we. Yeah.
I know that the kids you have Kevin and Kylie. Dead, yeah, you have Kevin and Kylie. And Kevin like had a head injury
from like sleepwalking and
sleepwalking.
But they wake up in the middle of the night, and that's when the movie starts, yeah.
And it's basically, like, the movie is them basically for an hour and a half. Now, this is coming from somebody, when I was like, 3 or 4, I used to get up in the middle of the night to go sleep in mom and dad's room when I was a little kid. And I've had that, I know that feeling that they're trying to do of waking up and you're disoriented and you feel like you're kind of alone, where is everybody?
Yeah, it feels off, yeah.
And they do it perfectly. But, dude, for hour 40 minutes, man.
If this movie was a horror short for like a half hour, I think it would have been
a lot better.
Yeah.
This movie doesn't need to be more than 30 minutes.
No.
And even 30 minutes might be even, like, with this story, you probably could have done it in, like, maybe 20.
Yeah.
And I dock points from this because, now, this, I can't wait to hear the Rotten Tomatoes stuff that we say at the very end.
Yeah.
But, now, we're bitching and moaning about this, and I think the criticisms are well-deserved, but I find it disappointing because the ambiance is good and I really, really dug it, but
you have to give us a plot, man.
You have to give us a plot. You can't just keep showing
a story, yeah.
You can't just keep showing like, oh, here's the corner of the table. And here is a half eaten bowl of Cheerios on the it feels like it's a very German existential film. Like
here I am coming up with theories to kind of give a story to a storyless movie.
I would really like to see if the cinematographer goes on to do a lot cooler things, because cinematographer-wise, it's very, I get the ambient and it's good, but the movie's also padded with, like, it keeps going to show shots of the TV that's showing old cartoons, like old Looney Tunes or Acme Hour cartoons, which I love, and now I have to dock at points because now it's making me sick of those cartoons, because it's just does nothing but show, whenever it needs to pad itself out, just show clips of it. Of the same scene going on over and over.
It'll stare at the same thing for like 4 or 5 minutes. It's like, what are you doing? That could be a 2 second shot and move on.
If there was ever a movie that was the antithesis of Tetsuo, it's this movie.
It's directed and the screenplay was written by Kyle Edward Ball. Like, yeah, he directed this movie, but to say he screenwrote this movie? What the fuck was the script? 3 pages?
And it said that the budget was $15,000. I think that's too high. I was like, you had a budget? Really? Like, where did it go to? Like,
paying the parents of the kids?
It was $15,000, and then it got $2.1 million box office, I believe. Which I couldn't imagine watching this in theater. I hate shit talking a movie like this, but it feels like it would be an awkward sit in a group, in a full group of people.
Dude, watching this in the theater, I'd be like, I would have left.
Like
I'd be like,
how many minutes in would you have?
I have no idea, but I would have either fell asleep or I would have left. I'm like, wow, I can't watch this anymore.
Eventually, like, so to sum up, and spoiler alert for the ending, but the kids eventually split up at some point. Kevin wakes up and his sister isn't there, and he's alone in the house with this entity that basically is this cruel entity that just kind of wants to toy with him, makes him hurt himself and scaring him and all that kind of business. And it's basically left up in the air where the kid walks through the red door from Insidious and the end. Like,
Finally moves on to the afterlife. So, let's break this down.
it's no, we need to talk about it more than just like 10 minutes. But how? Okay. Yeah, let's break it down. Damn. Okay.
I mean,
Technicals.
technicals.
I have to. Okay. You want to go?
The ambiance and the filter are enjoyable. The direction of the shots, though, are.
Not.
They hang on to certain scenes for way too long than they need to. And it takes away. It's so hard to keep your attention
I think I
when you're
said.
staring at the same corner for a long time.
I think one of my notes I said.
So.
There's a difference between building tension and holding the audience hostage with it, like, because there are the way it's. Yeah, go ahead. What's the score about?
I'm gonna give it a 5.
It's exactly what I put gave it to. I was like, yes, for the ambiance, it captured the tone what they wanted perfectly, but random shots of parts of the house does not make for a good storytelling.
Now let's move on to story. What story?
Dude, I have to say two, man.
I'm right there with you on a 2, man.
You can tell the story, but not in a near 2 hour span.
It's just, there's very much a lack of a story in this movie. Lack of anything that makes you want to continue watching them.
And I am a guy who is known for liking slow movies.
They're slow and then there's non-moving. And this is like a non-moving story.
But then you'll just get a quick glimpse of something that is like, well, that has potential.
So we're both at 2 for story, no enjoyment.
Two.
I'll give it a 1.
I'm giving it a two just because I'm nice.
I'm gonna have to give it a 1. I'll say this now. I will never watch this movie again.
Yeah, I
We're
don't.
never
Yeah.
gonna do a re-review. We're never gonna look back on this movie. I will never watch it again.
Even Venom hasn't gotten like that. Like,
I will never watch this movie again. I gave it 2 shots
I
of
might
no.
watch Venom one bit more time in my lifetime, but
I can certainly say Skinamarink, I will never watch again.
I wish that you had a. I wish you gave us a second chance on Hanukkah instead. I think this was you just being petty, because
Yeah, you made me watch the lighthouse. I'm like, we're going Skinamarink. You want boring? I'll give you boring.
I legitimately thought that Lighthouse was going to be better on the second go around. I legitimately was like, yeah, there could probably be something here, but you just did it out of spite.
So you gave the Skinamarink 9 out of 30. I gave it a 8 out of 30. So 8.5 out of 30. Extremely disappointing.
But all right, so we did Season of the Witch. We did Season of Second Chances. And I think that you and me have grown. We've grown as human beings for revisiting something, some projects we apparently were absolutely correct on our first time. But do you want to enter into our next season of what we're doing? Because remember, I broke them all down into seasons.
All right, so what is this next season?
Season of Second Childhoods.
Second childhood?
So I wanted us to, because I don't know if we've ever visited like ones from our childhood that kind of got us into like horror as kids and stuff that was kind of aimed at, like Hocus Pocus is aimed at kids. And it's.
See, I'm weird because as a kid, I was watching Scream, Halloween,
Well, how about I
Friday the
say,
13th.
well, how about I say that our picks have to be PG-13
Blow.
or below. So you weren't really big on watching like haunted cartoon specials or anything like that back as a kid?
Like, I watched like Hocus Pocus and Halloween Town, but no, like when I wanted real horror, I'd watch real horror as like far back as being like 6 or 7.
Right, well, let me see if I can, because I used to watch a lot of like specials like Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island type stuff when I was a kid. But
Scooby-Doo is dope, though.
you said Scooby-Doo was always dope.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're going to review. It was Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island.
Oh, I'm done.
I think that had a rocking soundtrack too, back right? in the day. And as a lot of people know, it's the first time that they started actually having, or it wasn't the first time, but it actually have real monsters. So I'll just say for your pick, it doesn't necessarily have to be like cartoon or that level, but it has to be PG-13 or for a younger audience.
Okay.
So, but Scoop, we're gonna go back into my childhood with Scooby-Doo and Zombie. And please, for the love of God, Dave, don't be so petty in the future. God, dude. Like,
I'm sorry.
This thing worked better than a shot of Z-Quil, man. Like, I was like trying so hard not to fall asleep.
No, yesterday when I got off work, it was like 3:30 in the afternoon. I put on Skin and Room to watch it, and I watched for like 5 minutes. Next thing you know, I'm waking up. It's like 6:30 at night.
Oh wait, we never did Rotten Tomato reviews.
Nope, I am bringing those up right now.
I gotta know what people said about both on the very positive end and the negative end.
All right, so we got Callum Crumlish from Daily Express UK. That's a very British name if I've ever heard one.
Say it again.
Callum Crumlish.
Callum, that sounds like a Harry Potter. Callum Crumlish.
Okay, so Skinamarink is a cool experience. It's great, but okay. With a lot of style and thought behind it. That's but there's true. Not enough substance underneath the surface to become an all-time group, despite its reputation.
I'll agree to the last two sentences. It did have some style, what they wanted to do, but yeah. It there is not enough there.
Underneath the surface to even become a good movie. Not even close to an all-time.
Again, like you said, if this was a short, it would have been perfect. I would have praised it if it was like a 20-minute short.
20-minute short, I would love this. I would tell everyone to see. So then we got Milagros Amadure from La Nacion, Argentina. The audaciousness of its premise grows increasingly tedious, working against the clear intent of making an avant-garde film that never lives up to what it sets out to do.
Yeah.
Right, then we got Chrissy Strauss from Wonderfully Weird and Horrifying. While intentive and a great opportunity for experimental low budgets to be spotlighted, Skin and Rink left me in the dark. Yearning for much more, the prominent static becomes just that, a disconnect.
I don't even know if I'm yearning for more.
Yeah.
Yearning for something.
Yeah, give me something. All right, Jordy Skirskin from Jordy Reviews It. A tedious slow burn that never actually ignites into something more.
That's about the best way you can put it.
Yeah. Brian Haggart from Deep Focus Review. The deliberate tempo and scarcity of narrative information may test your patience, as it did mine. Even as you appreciate Ball's evident skill, a set of confidence, and commitment to his conceptual intent. All right.
I think we get the gist.
Yeah, I'm going to do one more. Kevin A. Ransom from MovieCrypt.com. Imagine someone making a 100-minute version of the cursed videotape from The Ring.
That's what I was feeling.
Limited third-person ominous childhood nightmare of being trapped in a familiar setting. If this isn't something you can relate to, it's also an exercise in tedium.
That's exactly what I was thinking when I was like 3/4 of the way. I was like, you know, this kind of just feels like the long version of like, when the people watched The Ring, did they have to sit through the whole thing?
Like, right, yeah.
Like the characters in The Ring, did they have to sit and watch like a 1-hour and 40-minute Ring video and it was just that?
Yeah.
And you know what? This might be the highest rated of the movies that we didn't like, but this has to take the place over like Venom or Soul Survivor in terms of I do not want to revisit it.
Yeah, like we already declared, we will never re-review this movie on our channel. And if you guys are still with us, we appreciate that.
Yeah, unless we've offended the Skinamarink community.
Yeah,
and then it's like, shit. You know what? No, I love Skinamarink.
Yeah. Have a good week, everyone.
See ya. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Body Bag Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe and leave us a comment as to what you'd like to hear us review or any horror movie topics you'd like to hear us rant and rave about.
And while you're at it, you can find us on Twitter at Body Bag Pod and on Instagram at Body Bag Podcast.
Thanks, and we'll see you next time.